Good morning, church. He's here this morning, keeping his eye on me.
Yeah.
Okay. This morning's reading is a very familiar one, and this time taken from Matthew, verses 7 to 15. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody, again. I don't know if you've... I'm just going to harp back to the worship for everyone point. Apples. Have you ever thought about an apple seed and about the potential within it? That's amazing. Because that apple seed doesn't also... I look at it and think, do you know what? I think start to think about how many apple trees are in that one seed. Imagine that. God, his inspiration to do that, to put the potential in that one seed, to make not just an apple, another apple, but not just one tree worth of apples, but it's amazing. And I want us this morning to hold on to that, because I believe that this is a really simple thing, what I'm speaking about this morning, you know, what to pray. You might be thinking, well, what's the potential? Okay? It's the potential that we all have. Please note that. Can we have the slides up, please? I want to begin, first of all, by offering a very brief recap from last week. So, our theme was, why? Why do we pray? Now, firstly, because prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Let's say that together. Prayer is talking to God. And then I picked up on four reasons as to why is a good place to start. Firstly, the practice of the Saviour. The practice of the Saviour. In this matter, as in others, Jesus is our example. We know what we should pray because Jesus prayed. Secondly, the promise of Scriptures. Look again at his life, and you will see not only the saturation of his life with the practice of prayer, but also the boldness of his promises concerning the power of prayer. Then, the proclamation of the saints. This is the third reason. We should pray because of what the saints have declared about the value of prayer. You see that in scriptures. You see that in the letters contained after the Gospels. We see that from examples of people that have lived not only before us, but with us. And at that point, I recalled Roland, our brother Roland. And then the fact that it provides, it's a provision for our soul. We should pray because only in prayer do we gain the energy to live our lives for God. So that's a recap. And I'm going to finish there. No, I'm not. So what? Today we're building on by looking at what do we pray for. Now, suppose I was to say to you that you could go to the bank tomorrow and you could withdraw whatever you need. Or if I was to say that not only tomorrow, but any day, you could do this with no limitations. Wouldn't you think that to be quite a great thing? Well, some people are nodding, others are, I'm thinking, well, if that happened, I'd be going, oh, that's quite convenient, thank you very much. No more stress for me, thank you. But I want you to know this morning that you can go to a bank any time and withdraw more than what any bank could give you. And that bank I'm referring to is the bank of God. The bank of God. Scripture tells us in Psalm 50:10 that we have a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. Not just 10, but on 1,000 hillsides. And in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And in verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. If you think, oh, the Bible doesn't really speak to me, that should speak to you. Because we all live in a world at the moment where we are all anxious, we are all concerned, we are all stressed. That verse there speaks into it. This bank is accessed through prayer, as these verses reveal. 1 John 5, 14-15 suggests that God is interested in whatever we want to talk to him about, as long as what we're requesting is according to his will for us. In this week, I was interested to see what people would say in response to the question, what do we pray for? And I put out on Facebook that question. And I had several responses. When it decides to come up, here we go. Wisdom. Relationship. Revival. Comforting. Others. Peace. Communion. God's grace. World peace. Peace. Love. I was only asking for one word. So all great things. Surprisingly, everyone came back with different responses. You would think, in thinking about what to pray, we would all be saying the same thing. Well, actually, I wasn't surprised. Because for each of us, we may have a different response to that question. And if I was to ask it this week coming, the response could be different from you. Because more often than not, our focus comes from where we find ourselves in that week. So in considering what to pray for, it is in some ways we can pray for whatever we want. Lord, I want a Lamborghini. I don't, because I prefer a Porsche 911. Lord, I pray for this. I pray for that. The problem is, so often we are unsure as to what we should be praying. And sometimes we question, is what I'm praying what I should be praying? Looking at our reading this morning, which contains Matthew's experiences with Jesus, we see that even the 12 disciples didn't know what to pray. So they took the direct option and asked Jesus, the one whose example they sought to follow, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. The New Living Version, it reads this way. When you pray, do not say the same thing over and over again, making long prayers, like the people who do not know God. They think they are heard because their prayers are long. It's not like God's got a stopwatch going, cool, you've now gone past that. You now earned that. Well done, you've got to 13 minutes. You are entitled to. That's not God. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. May your holy nation come. What you want done, may it be done on earth as in heaven. Give us the bread we need today. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into to be tempted, but keep us from sin. For your nation is holy. You have power, shining greatness forever. Let it be so. If you forgive people their sins, your Father in heaven will forgive your sins also. If you do not, understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Oh no, turn page. Forgive sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I didn't think that sounded quite right. Does that make you go, oh? Well, it does me. Paul, in this week's life group notes, is suggesting the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. He doesn't actually give the technique I think they wanted. That's what he says. He offers some things. He says priorities of prayer in the Lord's Prayer. He suggests that, well, this is what Jesus said, there are priorities, sets out priorities. God's glory, the coming of his kingdom, daily needs, forgiveness of sins, protection from evil. Jesus says, these are the rough areas you should be going to. So often we can talk about what to pray for in often focused on those last three. Our daily needs, forgiveness for the things we've done wrong, and that, Lord, protect us, help us. But we missed those first two. God's glory and the coming of God's kingdom. This morning, I want us to see that though we can pray for our daily needs, and in fact we should, that we should be praying for our needs, forgiveness and protection, it is also vital that whenever we pray, we take time to ensure we proclaim the glory of God, his position in creation, for the coming of his kingdom. That is our church's desire, our purpose, our slogan, whatever you want to call it. Our calling as a church is to see God's kingdom come inborn. That is our calling. And in fact, that's everybody's calling, really. But that's what we've got. Yes, that's our calling. We want to see God's kingdom come inborn, don't we? We want to see this church filled three times over, four times over. We want to see every church full of people. Because whilst there's one person who's not heard the gospel in our town, we have a job to do. God of the heavens and the earth. For in doing this, we are acknowledging God for who he is. Who he is. If we take time in our praying to acknowledge God, then we will see a change in our relationship with the one we are speaking to. Do you know that? I truly believe that. So often, we can be, oh God, by the way, that. I know and see personally and have read in books and even seen on social media posts and in bits like that, that the Western church have in some ways lost our reverence of God. So often we see him as a guy we go to make things right. He's a mate. He's that go-to, oh, it's a problem, I'll go, as I just heard Reece say. He's a genie. You rub the bottle. Lord, sort this out. So often we see him as this guy. I know a man who can. Or I know a God who can. Christianity is, as we mentioned last week, about relationship. It's about relationship with the God who holds everything. I couldn't find a photograph for that. So I've just got that. God is God. And like we see with Moses and the burning bush, what does he do? Take off your sandal. This is holy ground. Isaiah and his vision, those around the throne declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We have a holy God. He is set apart. If we ensure that the whole of our life is focused on God, then we will see a change. We will see a change not only in our desire to be in his presence, but also in what we are praying for. I say this because if God is our number one, then all that we pray for will be directed by us seeking God's will. It's the same with my marriage. Sharon and myself love God. So God's here. We're here. We're both looking towards God. We're both drawing that way. If one of us starts taking our eyes off God, we're going to be doing that. And maybe some of you go, yeah, I identify with that. I recognize that. But that's the same with our prayer life. If I'm focused on God, then things that I'm praying into are what God wants to see happen. It all means that in what we pray, we recognize that ultimately we offer it to God. And whatever the outcome will be, the outcome is. Sorry about that. Do you know what? I look around the church. I've got people here, Paul. I've got Jerry and Chris. Do you know what? They haven't given up on faith just because their prayer's not been answered. There are many of us who could testify to that. Because sometimes we think, oh, I'm a Christian, everything should be nice and perfect. I'm really sorry, but it doesn't work like that. And even when we pray, you think, oh, you're a Christian, I'm going to get the answer I want. No. And that's great that we've got people here who, in a way, are a living testimony. Say, look, do you know what? Though I haven't got the answer, or I'm still not had the answer, and maybe I have, but it's not what I wanted to hear, I still am with God. Like when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that furnace, they said, before they went in, they said, even if, you could chuck us in there. Even if God doesn't answer our prayers, and we see that here, people still remain with him. Because rather with than without him. Rather with than without him. It means that what we pray for, we recognize that ultimately we will offer it to God. God's the one. We should make sure when we pray, we give God the word first. Forget this. Oh, by the way, God, this is my list. Yes, he's interested in that. He's interested in it because he loves us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's interested in your needs. But also, he wants us to say, God, you're amazing. Do you know what? You are the creator. You spoke and brought me into being. Thank you, God. You are the Heavenly Father. You are all powerful. You are El Shaddai. You know, there are names. We've done courses. We've done a series on the names of God. He is so much more than we give him credit for. And all we do is say, all right, mate, can you help me out? I'm not saying that God, you know, we can have that relationship because God's broken the... He's not into this No, 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 you must call me God. You must offer me the grace. Get on your knees, please. He's not that sort of God. We should be treating respect. So, God, you are awesome. But he's also about relationship. In considering what we are to pray for, I believe we need to hold the following. We pray because we believe prayer changes things. So as far as I consider what to pray for, I'm not saying that we are wrong to pray for our own needs, for personal forgiveness, or even protection. We can pray for what we want. You can pray. If you have a heart, if you feel, God, I have a burden for this. Pray. But as I said earlier, but it's not. You don't have to use big, long words. You don't have to say to God, right, I've got to give 15 minutes before he might then respond. You know, as human beings, we're really good at trying to butter people up, aren't we? You know what I mean? If I rub your back, you'll rub mine sort of thing. And, you know, Costa, I'm quite good at Costa. McDonald's, I'm amazing. I've earned 30,000 points at the moment. I know. It's those sneaky cheeseburgers. Don't tell Sharon. She knows because she caught me out. And my daughter caught me out once as well, actually. She says, I got a text. She's in Norwich and I'm in McDonald's car park. Why are you in McDonald's car park? How does Esther know that? Because she's got a tracking app. But I'm tracking her, but she's tracking me. But you see, I spend money in McDonald's, so I get vouchers, you get points, and then you can use those points. Tesco's, they've all got it. We all use it. We all do it in our human. I know, Reese, if I help you, you then help me. And sometimes we put that with God. We say, okay, God, I want this answer to prayer. But so if I put 15 of these in, and I put 4 of these in, you'll do that for me, won't you? Or maybe that's just me. Or we think, oh no, I've blown it. I put 15 days worth of credit in and I've not prayed today, so that's wiped all of that. Okay, I can tell you, God does not act like that. And if you think he does, let me spend some time with you. Because I don't believe that's how God works. God is just, yes. He is just. He's loving and just. And he doesn't go, well, that's wiped you. You start from the beginning again. You're not like, you know, in school, where they've got the good things. You get your things in jar. And if you fill your jar, you then get a reward. God's not saying, you fill the jar with prayer, and then I'll give you a reward. No! I am sorry. That's not the God that I believe in. Our God enjoys a relationship with us. He wants us to talk to him, yes. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He wants us to seek to be devout, to be in reverence of who he is, because he's holy. And we seek to be holy. So please don't think I'm saying you can do what you want, because you can't. You can't. You have to seek to live as God wants you to live. Because His heart is that you live the best. John 10:10. I've come so you can have life in all its fullness. You see, prayer is a privilege, not a duty. And is a joy, not a responsibility. What to pray for? Whatever you want. World peace. An end to suffering. For Peterborough United to win the FA Cup. I don't know. You know, I'm praying for Nathan and Jill Arnold as they drop their son off to uni. We had the Paskins drop Hannah off yesterday. We've got other children moving up school. We pray for them. So there is value in our prayers. Don't think, oh, my back. That's what I'm saying. Your prayers are valuable to God. But let's make sure we make time for him first. Let's give him his worth. It's not just a vending machine. I'm going to stop rather than keep on because I've said what I wanted to say. I hope you take what I've said, that you will look at it, because we've got things to pray for, haven't we, here? Where are they? They're here. We've got this coffee conversation. You could be praying about that. We want to see people come to know God. This is the first step for some, to come and have a coffee and talk about things that we're going to be raising. Because this is not about you coming and having a nice evening. This is about you bringing somebody with you to have an opportunity to spend a bit of time talking into things that may impact their life. Try praying. Perhaps I've got 100 of these. Take one with you. Put one in your back pocket. And when you're walking through work or through the town, perhaps you might be prompted. Say, God, lead me to somebody that needs to know that you're there. And say, look, why don't you try praying? Alpha, Youth Alpha. We've got, as Paul said, we've got three alphas. We've got this week, the Thursday evening one, then the following week, we've got the youth one, and then the following week after that, we're going to have the toddler one. Where we're not aiming it at toddlers, we're aiming it at the parents of the toddlers. So you could be praying that as we go to toddling on Tuesday, we would have some people. There was a young lady who was here this morning, but she stayed for a bit, and then she had to go because her son was all over the place. She says, I hope to come here next week. She comes to toddling. So I hope that this week, let's pray that God would cause her to come back. That we would be stirred to be a welcoming community. We're going to come around the table, and I'm going to move so David can come up. So let's take a moment. Father God, you don't limit our prayers. You don't say it has to be in this category. You just say, come to me. Speak to me about what you concerns you, about what your needs are. But Lord, we also need to recognize that we need to come to you and say, God, you are worthy. You are holy. You are God. And in fact, Lord, yeah, I take my shoes and socks off. I come to you humbly, knowing who you are, the God of all things. And in that, Lord, I pray that you would direct our prayers. Lord, I pray you would stir people in this room and those that are at home, that they would be stirred to come to you first in their prayer times, offering you glory, glorifying who you are. Because you are worthy. You are worthy.